This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And I wanted to thank Robbie, who's a silver level amplifier. That means that Robbie is giving at least $5 a month to the AMPS program. That stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. So when you give money to the AMPS program, you're helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And we thank you so much for that. If you would like to learn more, we thank you, Robbie, so much for that. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you tonight on Free Talk Live, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And it looks like we have Dave Ridley from New Hampshire from ridleyreport.com on the air with us. Ridley, what's on your mind?
Ridley.
Well, while I was getting ready to go into the state house, or at least I was standing outside, you know, holding a sign for the independence bill, some people started walking past me, and I pulled up my camera and said, "Are you guys state reps?" You know, I was going to ask them questions about whether they support our right to vote on independence. Mm-hmm. And they said, "No, we're not state reps. We're survivors of the USS Liberty."
Yeah.
I've heard about
that. That's not something that walks past you every day, right?
Yeah,
not really.
It was crazy.
It's one of the most famous U.S. ships in history, attacked by the government of Israel for how long did the attack last? An hour? 2 hours?
I'm not sure, but they were without help for a long time.
Like 13 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a 40-foot torpedo hole in their ship.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know that. That's insane.
I didn't know that until I heard these guys speaking.
And the U.S. government did not investigate it or try to cover it up or whatever, and it's really sad.
And the government told these people, like, you're not going to talk about this to anyone. Like, shut up.
So they went in and testified on there's a bill by State Rep Jason Gerhart, I don't know if he's a free center. He's definitely a Liberty rep who's moved here, within the last 10 years. And so he sponsored the bill to create a state investigation of the USS Liberty attacks. Does that make sense?
Yes. He's there. They want to ask the government of New Hampshire to just start to investigate. Maybe the state of New Hampshire is going to ask the federal government to investigate. Is that it?
I don't think so. I think this is a state investigation. I don't think Jason's into getting the federal government to do investigations.
Yeah, probably not. I think he just wants New Hampshire to try and find a way to investigate this whole experience of the survivors and the whole ship disaster.
Okay.
When I was in college, I went through this course called Hometown Foreign Policy, and it was, you know, run by kind of a secession-leaning guy a little bit, or who's sort of an autonomy guy that liked the idea of local government doing the governing in the United States instead of the big government, the big federal government. And this is sort of I haven't seen very many examples of that working very well, but this is a nice example of at least trying. Something else that happened while I was there, as I was toward the end of my stay there, because I stayed at the building until, I was there like between, I don't know, I guess 12:15 p.m. and 3:15 p.m. roughly, or maybe 3 p.m. And around 3 p.m., you know, after everybody was gone, there was a vehicle pulled up with a billboard on its side, one of those changing billboards, like an electronic billboard. And it was it was there to support the guys in the Liberty, the USS Liberty, and it was showing all these pictures of misdeeds by the Israeli government.
Oh, wow.
Where was it?
This is just right in front of the State House. And the guys at the Liberty, I guess they were still there, too, and they went out and hung out with the guys at the truck. And so that was just another thing that happened that
really
most
cool.
people probably weren't aware of.
Yeah, I did not see that. I kind of, like, as soon as the second secession bill was over, I just kind of left. And I also got there too late to go to the sine wave, really. I had to go set up my camera. And I did listen to those people's testimony, though, and it was, oh my God, just so heartbreaking that their own government, you know, it's like, I hate to say it like that, like, but the government these people pledged to serve truly because they're the government, or they're the military.
The military, yep.
They got told by them, like, that we don't care that you were attacked wrongfully by the Israeli government. Don't talk about it. We don't care that all your friends just died in front of you. We don't care that you didn't get help for hours. Don't talk about it. Like, that's so crazy. Like, imagine, I don't know, just imagine being in a car accident and the police come over and they're like, it didn't happen. It's like, obviously not your fault. You know, that's like a way smaller scale.
And this occurred during the Vietnam era. So, you know, the United States is already focusing on another war. So I'm wondering if this is an attempt to keep the focus on Vietnam and not something else.
Hmm.
Well, what was your take? I understand that someone from the American Legion was there and gave some pretty disturbing testimony against the USS Liberty guys. What was your take on that? I haven't heard.
It wasn't quite against them as much as apparently in this bill, the American Legion was named, and he just went up there very rude and gross, and he was like, I just wanted to say the American Legion does not want to be a part of this, and if our name isn't removed, we will take legal consequences. And then he was, like, giggling. Like, he was being such a freak. I zoomed in on him.
Do we know, what is the language in the bill where they're mentioned?
Right, I didn't get that, so that's
all
he said.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
And, it was just, like, kind of gross. Like, imagine this guy's going up there talking about, like, yeah, all my friends are dead on the deck next to me. I'm waiting for the ship to just sink because there's 40-by-40-foot hole inside, and they wanted us to sail all the way to Malta to get help instead of just, like, helping them. Like, oh, my God. It just sounded so terrible. The Israeli person who finally showed up to help them flicked him off.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, and imagine just going up there and like giggling and being like, blah, 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 my company.
Like, oh, that's nice. But anyways, screw you guys.
Yeah
that's just
awful.
A whole silly, finger poking thing at the various branches of the military or whatever.
And I don't even know what the American Legion really is.
I don't either.
It's like a veteran nonprofit type of thing.
Okay. I figured it was
like a club.
Veteran club. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a club. Yeah,
but club, and they're not in it.
Yeah.
You wear a hat, and then you go there and drink beer, I'm pretty sure. It's just one of those.
Apparently doing exactly what you were told to be doing by the military, and then getting attacked by the people you're supposed to be on the side of makes you unable to ever join the American Legion. Mm-hmm. It's not like they did a war crime. The Israeli government did.
So in addition to making threats, is it true that the American Legion guy refused to accept questions?
I think so, yes, from what I remember.
Okay. All right. This is another thing. You know, this is as interesting as this USS Liberty bill is, as much as I wanted to talk about it. It's still hacking at the branches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
So we're going to solve this one problem that's 50-some-odd years old. It won't solve any of the other problems. It won't even solve that one.
Kind of, it's kind of, what's the word, like, symbolic, too. Like, it's just kind of doing
a symbolic gesture. It's a
right.
nice gesture.
And it was nice to, like, support those guys in a way. Like, just, like, sit there and film them. I might make a video with it, but I don't know if I will. But, it was nice to let those people have their first time ever being able to. It's just like, this is what they were happy about. This is what those people, the survivors, were really happy about.
Yeah.
They were happy that they were able to, for the first time ever since 1976 when this happened, speak to a governmental body about what happened to them and ask for, like, something. So that was kind of nice to support, like, and everything, but it was also, like, exactly what Ridley is saying. It's like, I don't feel like this is going to lead to any resolution, anything that's really, really substantial and good for anyone.
Well, it's not bad. I appreciate what's going on. It's just that this is yet one of the many thousands of issues that would be dealt with if we could just get out of this dystopian union.
Of course, but you know, it's hard to get out of a dystopian union when people are so focused on maintaining the Pledge of Allegiance or a flag or things like that.
Well, that's the beauty of an independence drive. You don't have to leave the union to get some of these other things done. Just the fact that you have a movement pushing to leave the union makes them scared to do all kinds of things. I mean, our movement's not big enough to do that to them yet, but the Texas movement is, and over time, we will become big enough, likely, to hopefully have them take their foot off the gas a little bit, as one of our people put it.
Yeah. I'm just hopeful for a break from the federal government because, you know, I don't know about our listeners. I don't know about the American people listening to us out there, but I'm so tired of these presidential elections and the stumping around and the running around these politicians. I don't care. I don't care about these people. Why do I have to sit around listening to these people who want to rule over me tell me, oh, we're going to do the greatest thing for America? No, you're not. You don't care. You just want power. And I'm so sick of it. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I really want to vote this election cycle because I'm sick of the choices that I have.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty valid.
So, Ridley? What do you have to say about that, Ridley?
Nothing to add.
Well, all right.
Thank you so much for your call. I just feel a little conflicted about that hearing. It was very interesting. It's very sad. We even have a caller, not on the line, but a woman caller that hasn't called in a while, at least on the day that I've been on. I think she only listens on the weekends. And she told us that her only brother died on the USS Liberty. And they didn't give her any... They didn't give them very much information. You know,
Her
brother wasn't there to explain it to them. And then she learns all this crap later in different documentaries or whatever. It's
horrifying.
Sad.
Yeah, that is... It is really sad because there's already... As a family member, there's already such a lack of closure there, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then to find out, like, some gruesome details about it, like, through, like, a third-party source, like a documentary, I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's really
sad.
It has
to be tough.
It's going to make it really tough.
I wonder if it's true what Libertariat in the chat is saying. He's saying that, basically... One of the people on the USS Liberty was an NSA employee, and he was spying on Israel during the middle of the, you know, I think it was the Six-Day War that they were in.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that means they deserve to get bombed. I'm just saying...
Do you think maybe that's why?
Maybe that could be why.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's still...
He is in the military.
Experience. Yeah.
I don't know. It's still very tragic for people to die.
Sure.
For, you know, any government. And it's also just like, okay, well, they were also supposed to be the allies, so isn't that still bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, I want to get back into a little bit more of this speech that Javier Milei gave, because we didn't really get into the really, like, dang, I can't believe he said that to the WEF type of stuff. And we read in the first... hour an article that explained what he was doing there. Javier Milei is speaking at the World Economic Forum today. Javier Milei is the president of Argentina. He won as an open anarcho-capitalist, which is just crazy. So a free market supporting libertarian.
Yeah, it's very rare that that happens in the world.
And he won the presidency there is that. He started off by saying that the West is in danger because people have slowly moved more towards socialism, which consequently leads to poverty. And he said some people are doing it because they're right-thinking, helpful people who desire to help others, and some people are motivated to push the West towards socialism out of a desire to belong to a privileged caste. And that's what government parasites are. They say the top do less work and get paid anyway by people who are forced to get to pay them by their dumb lackey goon cops that will kill them if they don't give their money to the parasite class and, by extension, the cops. So, he goes on, he says, we are here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world, but on the contrary, they are their cause. Believe me, there is no one better than us Argentinians to testify to these two issues. When we adopted the model of freedom back in the 1860s, in 35 years, we became the first world power. Well, when we embraced collectivism over the last 100 years, we saw how our citizens began to become poorer. And that definitely happened. Systematically. Until falling to number 140 in the world. But before we can give this discussion, it will be important that first we see the data that supports why not only is free enterprise capitalism not only a possible system to end poverty in the world, but it is the only system morally desirable to achieve it. If we consider the history of economic progress, we can see how from year zero to approximately the year 1800, the world's GDP per capita practically remained constant throughout the reference period. If one looks at a graph of the evolution of economic growth throughout the history of humanity, one would be looking at a graph that's shaped like a hockey stick, an exponential function which remained constant for 90% of the time and skyrocketed exponentially starting in the 19th century. He's saying things have only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception to this history of stagnation occurred at the end of the 15th century with the discovery of America. But apart from this exception, throughout the entire period between the year 0 and 1800, GDP per capita at a global level remained stagnant. Oh, I guess I was misunderstanding him. So he was saying that once America came about, it got better. But now, not only did capitalism generate an explosion of wealth from the moment it was adopted as an economic system, but if one analyzes the data, what is observed is that growth is coming, accelerating throughout the entire period. During the entire period between year 0 and 1800, the growth rate remained stable at around 0.02% annually. That is practically no growth. Starting in the 19th century with the Industrial Revolution, the growth rate increased to 0.66%. At that rate, to double the GDP per capita, it would need to grow for 107 years. Now, if we look at the period between 1900 and 1950, the growth rate accelerates to 1.66, a whole extra point, annually. We no longer need 107 years to double GDP per capita, but 66. And if we take the period between 1950 and 2000, we see that the growth rate was 2.1% annually, which would mean that only in 33 years could the world's GDP per capita double. This trend, far from stopping, remains alive even today. If we take the period, so now we're saying it's only getting better. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood the beginning. Because I knew that he got to this point where he started talking about that we live in the freest time, the most prosperous time.
We really do live in the most prosperous time. I mean, we all have computers in our pockets.
Yep.
We can order food delivered to our house through apps.
That's true.
And, you know, we live in a very prosperous age, and this wouldn't have happened if socialism or top-down economic policies happen because of government. Governments can't think of these things.
Right.
Entrepreneurs do.
It is nice to not have to, like, boil bath water like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, electricity is cool. Like, all of the modern amenities are pretty nice.
Oh, definitely. It's nice to have internet to be able to communicate around the world with everybody.
So, I'm going to skip all the part where he is talking about like the numbers, because
yeah, he gets pretty technical in there.
He does. It says the conclusion is obvious. Far from being the cause of our problems, free enterprise capitalism as an economic system is the only tool we have to end hunger, poverty, and homelessness throughout the world, the planet. The empirical evidence is unquestionable. Therefore, as there is no doubt that free market capitalism is superior in productive terms, the leftists have attacked capitalism for its questions of morality, for being, according to them, its detractors say, that it is unfair. They say that capitalism is bad because it is individualistic, and that collectivism is good because it is altruistic, and consequently they fight for social justice. But this concept, which in the first word has become fashionable in the last decade, in my country has been a constant in political discourse for more than 80 years. The problem is that social justice is not only not fair, but it also does not contribute to the general well-being, which is what people who believe in that stuff really believe that it's supposed to do. Like, oh, we always give everybody the same opportunity in life, blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't work out that way.
Social justice has become a political weapon to use against people who are non-compliant to their ideology.
Right, definitely. He says, quite the contrary, it is an inherently unjust idea because it is violent, because it is unfair, and the state is financed through taxes, and taxes are collected coercively. Or can any of us choose to not pay taxes? Which means that the state is financed through coercion, and that the greater the tax burden, the greater the coercion, the less freedom those who promote social justice start from the idea that the entire economy is a cake that can be distributed differently, but that cake is not given. It is wealth that is generated in what Kirzner calls a discovery process. If you produce a good quality product at an attractive price, you will do well and produce more. So the market is a process of discovery in which the capitalist finds the right direction on the fly. But if the state punishes the capitalist for being successful and blocks him in this process of discovery, it destroys his incentives. And the consequence of this is that he will produce less and the cake will be smaller, generating harm to the group as a whole. Dang. In the society, so harm to the group as a whole, the society, collectivism, by inhibiting these discovery processes and making the appropriation of what is discovered difficult, ties the entrepreneur's hands and makes it impossible for him to produce better goods and offer better services at a better price. How can it be then that from the academy, international organizations, politics, in economic theory, an economic system is demonized that has not only taken from the most extreme poverty to 90% of the world's population, that might be a little bit of a mistranslation, and it does so more and more rapidly, but it's also fair and morally superior. I think he's trying to say not only taken from the most extreme poverty to, I don't know what that part meant, but he's saying that it's only helped people become less poverty stricken and more.
Well, when you allow people to grow their own businesses or start a business or do whatever they want with their time and resources, people are going to prosper. We can't force top-down prosperity. It's got to come from the bottom up.
Says,
and when people are inspired to build and grow, they're going to grow.
He says, thanks to free market capitalism today, the world is at its best. There's never been in the entire history of humanity a moment of greater prosperity than the one we live in today. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. We're talking about Javier Milei in his speech at the World Economic Forum.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. Republican presidential candidates are now turning their attention to New Hampshire, as that state's first-in-the-nation primary elections are on the way. Nikki Haley spoke to reporters despite a disappointing finish in the Iowa caucuses. She's surging in the polls ahead of the vote in New Hampshire.
We've been here for 11 months. We've done over 75 town halls. We have been in Red Arrow Diner before, and so we're going to continue to talk to people.
The Granite State's planning to hold two Republican primary debates. But Haley says she does not plan to participate in either of them, unless former President Trump does. Trump has not participated in any GOP presidential debates so far. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, who ended his campaign this week, is saying Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley should do the same thing. A third-party candidate running for president, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is hoping to secure a spot on ballots all across the country. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Phone number here, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I'm not going to read the entire rest of this thing. I'm going to try to post it. I don't really know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to post it on social and also, well, I'll definitely share the original article with you guys. Oh, I know what I can do. I can take the actual video and share it on social media, at least on Free Talk Live's Twitter, which is just at Free Talk Live. As far as this, like, English 9-page thing I have, I will try to find a way to share it. If somebody, like, emails me or Ian at ian@freetalklive.com and really wants it, I will send it to them because I have it all here. Like, it's been a pretty good translation so far. All that I read so far, I feel like there's, like, one error that I couldn't really understand what the sentence is trying to say. But we've been talking in the last couple segments about Javier Milei's speech at the World Economic Forum Davos convention they have in Switzerland, I think it is.
Yeah, it's in Switzerland.
And they're a bunch of bad, bad people, mostly.
Well, we think they're bad because they want to control our lives, but you know, others might think they're so good.
Yeah, they're bad people because they want to take everything, own everything, and we just rent it from them.
Yeah.
Does anybody really think those people are good? Because I think even like the leftists who like kind of do believe in that style of policy are still extremely critical of them because of the blatant hypocrisy.
I mean,
you guys all fly here in private jets.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not even flying like, you know, business. business class or coat, you know what I mean?
So how can you care about the poor when you're flying around in private jets?
Well, it's about the, well, typically, I mean, a lot of what they talk about is about
the climate.
So, I mean, that's just like blatant hypocrisy.
Yeah, I heard.
You know what I mean? Like, you should be walking there.
Greta Thunberg claims that she like takes
trains
for like 3 days to get places, and I don't know if I believe her.
I actually do believe her because
really?
She would seem like the type of person to do that. She is an environmental activist. However, I do think that she believes so fully in this whole idea, but she's having a falling out with the other climate people because they're practicing hypocrisy while she's trying to take this environmentalist fear or hysteria or whatever you want to call it, this environmentalist story as seriously as you can because she believes in it and she wants to save the environment.
Well, she probably calls them out, right? I don't really follow any of this, but I'm assuming if she's really like as, you know, principled as she claims she is, that she would, you know?
She does call them out, but the thing is, like, she's like, you government people, you're not doing enough. And it's like, maybe she just needs to figure out.
Them doing more is actually worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These people who are being total hypocrites, you really trust them to just suddenly start caring about your cause or you? Well, we have other stuff to talk about tonight. This is from the AP, and I thought it was pretty funny, actually. It says, no joke, feds are banning humorous electronic messages on highways.
I've seen the story.
No, I love those.
Really?
That's like the best part about like the Department of Transportation is their little like funny things.
Yeah.
No, I actually really enjoy those.
If I had to choose the best part.
Yeah, it's like, you guys are complete trash, but every once in a while I'm driving on the highway and I see a little funny thing. I can't even think of an example now, but they'll do them for the holidays or whatever. Yep. Just a cute little clever thing. And normally I hate stuff like that, but for some reason it just makes me chuckle. And it's like, oh, you guys did something, you know, to make me happy for once.
Well, the feds want to destroy that. It says
poor signs.
It says, it's no joke. Humorous and quirky messages on electronic signs will soon disappear from highways and freeways across the country. The U.S. Federal Highway Administration has given states 2 years to implement all the changes outlined in its new 1,100-page manual.
Holy moly.
Released last month, including rules that spell out how signs and other traffic control devices are regulated. Administration officials said overhead electronic signs with obscure meanings, reference to pop culture, or those intended to be funny will be banned in 2026 because they can be misunderstood or distracting to drivers. I feel like that just never happened.
Like, you know what's distracting to drivers is when a cop pulls somebody over for no reason
and
they're blinding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully you don't have epilepsy because there's friggin' strobe lights on the side of the road. I mean, you know how many times I get, like, sometimes flustered by headlights being too bright or, like, the LED headlights or if people, like, flash their high beams at me. Like, I mean, even that's bad enough. Never mind, you have these bright flash, and they're bright, too.
Yeah.
Blue, you know what I mean? It's not only is that giving people, like, anxiety, but it's also completely blinding and super dangerous.
And the other night, I can't remember if you were in the car, Riley, but we went to Nikki's house and we brought Riley with us.
Yep.
And it was either when we picked you up and we're on our way to Nikki's house or after we dropped you off.
I think it was on our way back.
Oh, you were there because there was this cop on the side of the road that had pulled someone over, and I was just lucky I was able to go around him. He was all in my lane.
Oh.
Like, I was lucky I saw him in time, and I didn't just, like was looking behind me talking to someone in the back seat or something. Well, not really lucky. Like, I just don't do that. But it's just, he wasn't even tried to be pulled off to the shoulder. And he was just like, you'll go around me while he had somebody pulled over. You know? Like, that's so stupid. And so much more not just distracting, but incredibly dangerous.
And then if I did that, I'd get a ticket.
Right, well, exactly.
But, you know, the shiny badge-wearing people get extra exceptions.
Yeah. Ugh. We always come back to how we hate cops.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's hard not to. I mean, they're so hateable.
They're so, parasites.
Yeah.
Goons.
Yep. despots, tyrants.
I mean, they're all, I feel like they're all parasites, like all of the, you know, government people and the bureaucrats, but I feel like cops, since they're just like outwardly like attacking the entire population all the time, I feel like that's why it's like, wow, I can really get behind hating you even more.
Here's the thing.
Just because you're constant, like their entire job is to harass people and to like kill people and their dogs.
It's like, I have said before that as far as like Ian getting thrown in a cage for no reason, I feel more annoyed by the average person who just is apathetic about it than I feel about even the prosecution. Because like the prosecution, they have huge incentives. They're like pretty rich compared to the average person.
Oh yeah.
For the job that they have.
They have an organization backing them that has unlimited money, it seems.
And the other thing, but I mean, but on the other hand, the cops, you live in the same house as me. You're absolutely immoral and disgusting to other human beings and doing the bidding of these people who you'll just be like, okay, I'm just doing my job, just doing whatever somebody tells me.
Yeah.
For what? To send your kids to public school in the same neighborhood that we all live in? Like, you're a freaking loser. Seriously, I just can't stand that. Like, I mean, it's not even like I'm trying to say, like, they'd be cooler if they had more money. It's just that, like, you are a disgusting person who would sell yourself out for almost nothing. Like, you're just a dog. You're the government's dog and slave. And you're an idiot.
Right, and the police profession, I mean, sure, in a free society, there would be police, but they'd be focused on actual crimes instead of just pulling people over for broken taillights or whatever. And the profession itself is a good profession. However, when it's run by a parasitic institution, like a government or whatever, and it has a monopoly on protection services, it has no incentive to improve. It has no incentive to be better.
And they have every incentive to, if the government's like, take that person out, they're just like, yep, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir, yes,
just following orders.
Yep,
just
exactly.
Following orders, gotta follow the law.
Like, the other day, I went to go visit Ian, and I got in super late, all because of the stupid person who was letting me in, a.k.a. the cop.
Yeah.
He tried 40 keys right in front of me, over and over again. Just tried all 40 keys.
They're so dumb. Yeah, honestly, I don't want to say that, like, prison guards, or what are they called? The correctional officers. I don't want to say that correctional officers are worse than regular cops, because I guess, well, maybe it's about even.
Yeah.
But they are so dumb and annoying.
You know what I mean?
You
visited people in jail, too, so you know what I'm talking about.
And I will say, well, I don't know, I only have a couple experiences, but I remember, like, they used to, when my ex-boyfriend was in jail, like, maybe, I don't know, this was a while ago. I was, like, 18 or something, so it was a long time ago. But, those people were the worst. Like, I feel like the county, like the state ones versus the federal ones, I feel like the county jails are way worse. Like, they're just, I don't know, they're just losers. And
seriously,
they're just looking for reasons to not let you in. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they have all that power and they're like, oh, I don't like the pair of pants you're wearing.
Yep.
So I can make it so you can't come in and see your loved one. It's like, are you serious? Like, this person is in jail, and their highlight of their day is seeing me, and I'm also, I've done nothing wrong, I'm convicted of no crime, and I miss this person, and I want to go visit with them, and you're gonna, you know, take issue with the fact that I'm not wearing the right color pants?
Yeah.
It's just like,
imagine how powerless and lame and stupid they are in their real life.
That's the thing, like, how much of a loser do you have to be that you harass people for no reason just because you can?
It just goes to show that when people get a little power, it goes to their minds and think they exercise all this power and all this magical authority over people, when in reality they're just people with titles. And
so many teachers in my life were the same way, and their government... too.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Public school.
Yeah, I mean, public school teachers can be absolutely awful, and I do believe some of them are good. Like, I do know some public school teachers who, like, really try and are really, like, kind and nice, but there are some who are just, it's like, listen, if you hate children this much, you should get a different job.
Yeah, you really should.
Because some of them, like, seriously, it just seems like They hate children, and they're just, like, victimized by these 30-plus kids that are in their class. And, oh, they're so naughty, and, oh, my life is so hard, and I don't get paid enough money. And it's, like, this huge sob story that you always hear from public school teachers. And it's, like, get a different job. If you hate your life this much, and if you're, like, you know, traumatizing all of these kids, and if, you know what I mean? Like, there were so many teachers that I felt like personally hated the students and would just do things just out of spite. And it's like, listen, lady, we're just kids. Like, we're literally just being kids. It's just, it's
and just imagine,
to me.
Like, what kind of a person you'd have to be to want to, like, make a small child or even like a teenager feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
Like tell them they're stupid.
A bad person.
Yep, you have to be a bad person with a terrible life who hates themselves.
Yeah.
But
anyways,
we just kind of went off about government employees there and how power goes to their heads. But in this story, we're talking about how the U.S. Federal Highway Administration, they gave states 2 years to stop being funny on the highway. So when you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says, like, it's Christmas Day, right? And it says, look out for Santa's reindeer. Don't get in a car accident. Just something stupid like that. I honestly, like, Nikki likes them. Usually they make me mad.
Normally, like I said, normally I hate stuff like that. Like, I hate all of, like, the, I don't know. I'm not, like, a big, like, joke person, I guess, in that style. But for some reason, I don't know when I see them, because you feel like it shouldn't be there, right? You're like, oh, this shouldn't be allowed, right? So it kind of just gives me a little giggle.
Yeah.
And now they're actually taking it away.
I just find it sad that no humor is allowed while people are driving down the highway. It's like, why? Why is the government?
It's like, are they going to soon say that if you make a joke while you're in the passenger seat, it's a
crime?
It's the same exact thing. How could it be distracting to a driver?
I have no idea.
Like, the other day, me and my sister went and picked up my brother from the airport, and we were driving him here. We were laughing so hard, like, I was, like, gonna die, because he's like...
What, you were enjoying your life?
And I didn't crash the car.
Yeah, that's not allowed. You can't enjoy your life.
You can't enjoy your life, Bonnie. The government says no.
It just shows what kind of people these people are.
Yeah, they just...
The government
has no sense
members.
Of humor. They have no sense of life. They have no sense of freedom. They just want to...
Yeah.
Make everybody homogenous and all the same.
Yep, you will be miserable and you will like it.
Yeah. It says, administration officials said overhead electronic signs with obscure meanings, references to pop culture, those intended to be funny will be banned in 2026 because they can be misunderstood or distracting to drivers. The agency, which is part of the U.S. Department of Transportation, said signs should be simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear, and only be used for important information such as warning drivers of crashes ahead, adverse weather conditions, and traffic delays. Seatbelt reminders and warnings about the dangers of speeding or driving impaired are also allowed. Among those that will be disappearing are such messages as use ya blinka in Massachusetts. That's pretty funny.
But we're not going to be able to read it if they don't spell it like that. I'm not going to understand if you use an ER instead of an AH.
Oh, my God. It says, visiting in-laws, slow down, get there late from Ohio.
See, like, that's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
And even if you read it and you don't understand, it's just like, okay, the joke's just going to go over your head.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Are you going to turn around? Like, are you going to take a U-turn and hit somebody behind you trying to refigure it out? Like, no, you're not. I feel like there's never been an instance of this happened.
Does the article ever talk about how the government gathers this data on how distracted drivers are really, how distracted these drivers are by spotting these funny signs?
See, that's what I wondered as soon as it said it made the claim that people are distracted by it. I said, like, has anyone ever died? Like, I doubt it, but I'm not sure if it gets into that. It says, another example is, don't drive Star Spangled Hammered. Pennsylvania.
Like, it's stupid, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're on the highway. What better do you have to do? You know what I mean?
says, Hocus Pocus, drive with focus from New Jersey, and hands on the wheel, not your meal from Arizona.
Oh, I don't like that one because I want to eat while I drive.
Me too. Yeah. I hate that it's illegal in some places, maybe all
states. Is it? Yeah, you probably shouldn't, but I mean,
I've never
who doesn't?
Been known if it was illegal in any state I've ever presently been in because I don't care.
I don't care. I'm hungry, driving. Yeah.
I don't eat while I drive. I'm just telling you that right now.
Good.
Well, that's good. That's very safe of you, Riley.
Yeah, I'm very safe.
Arizona has more than 300 electronic signs above its highways. For the last 7 years, the State Department of Transportation has held a contest to find the funniest and most creative messages. Anyone could submit ideas, drawing more than 3,700 entries last year. The winners were seatbelts, always pass a vibe check. That's pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just a sign asking drivers to use turn signals. Okay, that one sucked.
Yeah, I know that one's not funny. Maybe they should start like a law that instead of just banning funny, well, like they have to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be more interesting than you can see how funny people can get, you know?
I don't know, because sometimes, not like I would drink and drive, but like when I see the funny DUI ones,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that makes me like really want to like take this more seriously. Not like I was going to do that in the first place, but like now I'm definitely not going to drink and drive because of this funny sign on the road.
Makes it feel more like it's a person trying to tell you something instead of the government issuing an order.
Yeah.
Like if it just says, obey, do not drink and drive.
Yeah, it's like, no one, now that makes me want to.
Yeah, it's true. Says, the humor part of it, we kind of like, said State Rep David Cook, a Republican from Globe, told Phoenix, oh, I guess that's Arizona, told Phoenix TV station ABC, or CBS 5, I think in Arizona the majority of us do, if not all of us. He said he didn't understand the fuss. Why are you trying to have the federal government come in and tell us what we can do in our own state? Prime example that the federal government is not focusing on what they need to be.
I mean, yeah, that's actually a great point. It's like, you know, the entire world is in shambles, and they're like, yeah, you guys are being way too funny.
On the highway, yeah. How dare you?
And it's just like, I want to know what Riley is asking, like, is it true that people are actually dying from this?
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. I think it's just a way for the government to remove humor from everything.
One thing Ian did tell me was that this Wall Street Journal one got into more detail about it. So let's see what they say about it. It says, it tells us that they have the 2 years only. And it says, Sam Cole, safety communications manager for Colorado's Department of Transportation, said that when he tells people what he does for work, all they remember are the road signs, which include quips such as, when at Halloween, make mummy happy, buckle up. Oh, it's terrible.
I don't like that.
I mean, it's nice wordplay, but...
says, oh, you're the VMS guy, they'll tell Cole, referring to the variable message signs, as they are known. I never knew that.
Yep.
It says, the Federal Highway Administration lays out its position in the newest edition of a 1,100-plus-page manual. Flipping to page 519 finds guidance stating humorous signs might be understood by only a limited segment of road users. Okay, well, if you don't get the joke, like, it's not going to kill
you. That's the thing. It's like, the only people that aren't going to understand is, like, really, really old people who probably shouldn't
be
driving.
Like, the vibe check thing? Like, old people
exactly.
might be like, what? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to stop? Am I supposed to turn around?
You're like, oh, crap, I missed the vibe check. I got to go back.
Yeah, oh, my God, no.
Well, we're obviously, like, clearly joking. Like, I don't think that's the case.
They'll just be like, what does that mean? And then they'll stop. So, I mean, not stop their car, but they'll stop thinking about it. But it does look like we actually have a caller in line, so I'm going to go to Alu here in New Hampshire. Alu, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I am very far behind on Free Talk Live, probably around 34 trillion episodes behind. So
I know. I haven't heard from you in a while.
I know, because I'm busy with the baby and a million other projects. I'm working on the next book. The First Amendment book, it's over 70,000 words already, and it might come out within the next few weeks or months. It might be finished, and then I'll review it and edit it one last time. So it might actually be here soon by the spring. It'll be my longest book, and it'll be hopefully the most comprehensive book on First Amendment violations in the universe. But anyway, a few comments on the last few shows a while ago. Someone mentioned that the autopsies a few nights ago, I think Mickey mentioned, they were talking about autopsies and organs, and they were asking about the brain. The one autopsy I saw in paramedic school is like 10 years ago now, and they do cut out everything, because she asked if you have to remove the skull, you do have to cut out the brain. What they do with, I think, everything is they take it out of where it is, so they took the brain out of the skull and then slice it up in a thin slices, maybe like a centimeter or a few centimeters thick, and then that way they can see all the slices, they can see if there's any, you know, plaque, injury, lesion, whatever, clots. They did the same thing, I think, with the heart and all the other organs. So they would have to take it out, and that's probably standard of every autopsy. And then I think Richie Rich, as the contrarian he always has to be, which is fine, he said that he does not want to be an organ donor because he is a crazy conspiracy theorist that believes that if you're an organ donor, people in the hospital or EMS may try less vigorously to resuscitate you because they want to harvest organs. I think that, I don't know if that has any validity, it might. I think it's an interesting argument, but I would argue the flip side also might be true in that pretty much the way it works with like paramedics and then doctors in the ER is as soon as they find out you're an organ donor, if they look at your ID card and everything, I didn't really make it a habit of pulling out wallets and looking at licenses. I was, as a paramedic, I kind of have to run the cardiac arrest and stuff. Some others on the scene, maybe police do that, maybe some EMTs. I haven't really done that much on cardiac arrest. But at some point, you know, you look at it if you're going to terminate the CPR. And pretty much what I'm getting at is if they see that you're an organ donor, that would actually make them work harder to save you and harder to keep doing CPR, to keep blood going, to keep you alive. So pretty much what we're talking about is even if you're brain dead, good CPR, ventilations, and all the other stuff they do will keep blood oxygenated and circulated to the organs and keep it alive and the organs in perfect shape by doing perfect CPR until you go to a hospital, and it has to be a fairly large hospital, like not a local community hospital. It would be here, it would be you know, Dartmouth or maybe CMC or otherwise NASJET or something in Boston, and then you know they could do the harvesting and they could take the organs. But you have to have perfect CPR, like in order to keep those organs perfused, you have to be doing very, very good CPR. So people know, I mean, I think paramedics and doctors know if they're an organ donor, instead of like most cardiac arresting work, like outside of a hospital, like 1 or 2% will ever come back to life. They're dead, getting them back to life is very, very difficult.
Well, you had more you wanted to get into that, and that's pretty interesting because I have also had like trepidation about being an organ donor, and I have some questions for you coming up if you want to stay on. 603-283-6160, it's Free Talk Live, more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.